Good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for coming here. We wanted to briefly provide our response to the governor. I think that his budget recognizes several realities, and they are as follows. One, we need to tackle the workforce development to better align the needs of our employers with opportunities for our young people. That's something that I believe everyone in the General Assembly has been talking about. We need to continue to make strategic investments in important areas, such as the treatment of individuals with opioid abuse and other substance abuse issues. We also need to develop additional opportunities for our farmers and all of production agriculture so that they can not just survive, but thrive. And we absolutely agree that our business tax structure is burdensome and the tax rates are too high, which creates disincentives for us to grow our economy and employ more of our citizens. We don't need to impose new taxes or raise taxes on our working families and businesses and industries to achieve these very important goals. Governor Wolf's budget sets forth a series of ideas that I believe that the House Republicans can find agreement on and advance important issues that our members were elected to tackle. For example, in the coming session, House Republicans, working with our Senate colleagues and hopefully with Governor Wolf, will be advancing an agenda that stands up for all Pennsylvanians by promoting work and economic opportunity. We want to improve the state's economic climate to help workers transition from minimum or low-wage jobs to good-paying, family-sustaining jobs and careers. Educating for success. We want to ensure that any increases in education funding reaches students and their classrooms, not just institutions where costs continue to go up. We need meaningful reform across all of our educational platforms to help ensure that every child and every student has the opportunity to succeed. We need to escape government dysfunction. We want to focus on creating additional value for taxpayers by acknowledging that the status quo isn't working and by promoting ideas that reinvent and reimagine more effective and efficient government service models with a focus on our core services. And lastly, we need to protect and promote families and communities because it's our goal to continue to value these individuals, the very building blocks of society and the centerpiece of our communities. To achieve this agenda, we look forward to working on issues like modernizing our approach to developing a high quality, productive, and evolving workforce as outlined by the governor. It suits very well with our educational, vocational, and labor systems that we seek to help. Overhauling our Commonwealth's antiquated and bureaucratic an oftentimes unproductive regulatory process that is literally strangling economic growth here in the Commonwealth. Transforming Pennsylvania's business tax structure and costs so that companies looking to come here can see the Commonwealth's tax structure as an incentive and not an excuse to go to another state. And finding additional ways to combat substance abuse, opioid addiction, and other issues that eat away at our communities and our families. We can do this by remodeling our human service programs so that they incentivize independence and self-sufficiency, and by removing the barriers and by instituting standards that achieve these goals. Certainly there will be other priorities as well, both from the Senate and the governor, but today I think begins a very important conversation and one that we're looking forward to having. Thank you. I'll now turn it over to Senator Cormann.
Thank you very much. I guess maybe we'll break with tradition, normal tradition, as the opposition parties to come out and sort of ridicule or complain about the governor's proposal. I think there is a lot there that we can embrace and get behind, at least generically. The governor laid out some priorities I think that we all share, workforce development being key among those. That is something that I know that is in the forefront of our own caucus and something that we're going to spend a lot of time on this year as well. Justice reinvestment, something that former Senator Greenlee, who's now retired, started almost a decade ago in the Senate Republican Caucus and leading the charge to change the way we sentence and the way we rehabilitate people that have fallen afoul of the law to the point where we've gone from almost 1,500 new prisoners a year to flat funding our prison population. Things that we've worked on in the past that we want to continue to work on as well with the House Republicans and with the governor. The reason we're in a better position today is because a lot of the good hard work that's been done by this General Assembly in the past, the restraint in spending, I know the House has always been a strong leader in that, as well as the Senate Republican Caucus, to make sure that we keep and grow within our means, which puts us in a position that we are ahead of revenue collections, that we are in a position that we don't have major deficits as we've had in the past. And you know, if you just look at what was originally proposed over the last 4 years compared to what is being proposed today, you're looking at about $5 billion less spending than what could have been. And that's about a 33% tax increase for the average person. So that's the hard work we've done in the past, the hard work that we've done on public pensions in the past, and now we're looking at a better future there. This is the hard work that we've done here in the General Assembly to put us in a position that we can look at strategic investments, look at investments in opioids. School safety will continue to be a humongous issue for the Senate Republican Caucus. A little disappointed in that reduction in the line item. We'll work on that. But the school safety issue is still paramount for all of us who, not only like myself, have kids in school, but we all have constituents, have children in school. That's something that will continue to be in the forefront of our caucus. So happy the governor did not propose a tax increase. That certainly lays the groundwork to be able to get done in a timely fashion. We share some of the goals. Obviously, there will be differences in the details, but we look forward to working out those differences over the next few months. Now, let me introduce the Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you so much. Folks, the governor was reelected with a significant number. The Senate and the House returned Republican majorities. Yes, we have divided government. But I thought that the governor's remarks today were very productive, they were positive, and they were pragmatic. And I am sure that the Republican leadership in both chambers is ready and willing to get to work to move Pennsylvania forward. Please keep in mind, I know you won't be able to see this chart, but this chart takes us back over the last decade and talks about the investments in public education, K through 12, that Republican majorities in the House and the Senate accomplished. Basic education, special education, and contributions to school employees' retirement. Keep in mind, folks, going back as far as 2010 and 11, we were contributing about $280 million annually to PISRs. In this year's budget, with the leadership from the House and the Senate, we are at our actuarially required contribution of about $2.5 billion annually contributed to PISRs, the employees' retirement alone. We have met our obligations. We believe in funding public schools. We do not think one size fits all. We think that there has to be some element of school choice, but we're going to continue to support increases in contributions to public schools all across the Commonwealth because we want to see everybody have an outstanding education. We also think that in terms of workforce development, there has to be some recognition that energy independence and manufacturing in Pennsylvania has to be a component part of that. We would ask each and every one of you, if you have the opportunity to get to Beaver County, to see the petrochemical facility that Shell has put there. There are over 100 cranes, 800 iron workers working at that facility alone, not to mention the other trades. There's going to be a $7 billion plus dollar investment. All of that because we are able to have an openness to getting the natural gas out of our ground. They're turning that into plastics in the petrochemical facility. We'll have over 600 permanent jobs. We want to make sure that there are more facilities, petrochemical, manufacturing, using brownfield sites that was built on a brownfield site, all across Pennsylvania to provide for more family-sustaining jobs. Perhaps we need to take a look at that tax credit to see if we can incent others to come to Pennsylvania to build such facilities. I think that should be something at the top of our list. And we are working hand in hand with our trades to create those family-sustaining jobs. Fiscal stewardship, private sector job creation, additional reforms to our pension system, We know a report is coming out. We're going to be supportive of those and continued investments while protecting taxpayers. Thank you very much.
As we listen to the governor, what I can say is I was very pleased to hear his tone, hear his message, hear his direction. You know, as he talked about jobs and job training and the needs of employers, what I can tell you as an employer, what I can tell you as somebody that speaks to employers, is that we also have to work to remove those impediments for those people to get to work. We have a lot of single moms, a lot of single fathers that can't get to work because their car breaks down. They can't get to work because their child is sick and they have no daycare. They can't get to work because there's an illness in the family, there's no care. So we have to look at this broad perspective, because as I talk to employers, I can tell you that job training is one issue and we need to continue to focus on that. But we got to focus on the families, and we got to focus on their problems that stop them from getting to work. And I tell you this not as anecdotal, but as somebody that deals with it every day. And we need to continue, and I'm optimistic the governor's talking about the corporate net income tax. We must lower the corporate net income tax. No matter who the job creator is, who the investor is, who the bank is, before they're going to invest in a state and put money into plant, equipment, and training, they look at that corporate net income tax that Pennsylvania has. And it is a detriment. It drives business out of here. It keeps investment from out of here. And we can do that responsibly. We can do that, and as we lower that tax, corporations and businesses will invest in Pennsylvania. They will invest in their plants. They will invest in machinery, and they will hire people and pay benefits. And this is a must, and we have to do it in a straightforward way, not with smoke and mirrors, but we have to make it real. And we can do it over a period of time, as we did with the capital stock and franchise tax. And finally, you know, here we are in the best economy that we have seen in this nation, in this Commonwealth in decades. The best. This is the best it gets. And we're still not meeting the growth in our expenditures. We have a problem in Pennsylvania, and the problem isn't with the revenues, it's with the expenditures. And we have to balance this out, and it will require a lot of work. This budget's not just going to be a slam dunk. We have a lot of work to do. So as we look at it collectively, I think we have a willing governor to work with us, and I think that we have a message and a plan that gets Pennsylvania into 2020, where, just remember, that's perfect vision. So I think we have an opportunity to get there. Thank you.
You know, Senator Scarnati just talked about families, and I think that's one thing that's a lot of time here when we talk about budgets we forget about. You know, I want to congratulate the governor today for presenting a vision to the General Assembly that we've talked about for a long time. As chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, I know Senator Brown will have a few comments to talk about as we start our hearings in the next 3 weeks going over the governor's budget. There's a lot of good things in this budget. There's some areas where we're going to have policy disagreements with the governor on, but there are a lot of good things. One of the things that still has a great deal of concern to me as the Appropriations Chairman of the House is the minimum wage increase that the governor's talked about. We need to take a real deep, serious look at that. When you look at the report that came from Washington State University, as well as the IFO, saying that it would cost Pennsylvania somewhere in the neighborhood of 33,000 jobs. That's concerning. That doesn't mean that we just toss that proposal out. So we'll take a serious look at those kind of things that have in the governor's budget. But again, I think both of our caucuses, and particularly the House caucus that I speak for, is focused on real family-sustaining jobs, growth for Pennsylvania into our future, that we give those children that we have in K through 12 and in our universities an opportunity to stay here and work here. Many times people forget, you know, all the way back to Governor Ridge, we've talked about the brain drain. What we forget is when we send our children out of this Commonwealth to work somewhere else, their parents are still here. They still have needs here. and that drives up our costs for our seniors and everything else. So I look forward to working with this governor and his staff and working with the Senate to come up with a budget proposal that meets the needs of all the families of Pennsylvania and moves Pennsylvania in a positive direction. Thank you. Senator Brown?
Thanks, Chairman Sauer. To close, just some general comments. I think it's safe to say if two parties are sitting across the table from each other, negotiating towards a common goal, in this case, the adoption of a government spending plan, you would hope over time that they come to terms with certain fundamentals. And one fundamental, I believe, is vital in government budgeting is the strategy for how you appropriate the money is only as good as the strategy for how you raise it. A spending plan is only sustainable if the revenue plan is sustainable too. And this Commonwealth, in its spending strategies over time, has shown some serious leadership when compared to other states. The total spending, state and local, in primary and secondary ed in Pennsylvania, in nominal dollars, is one of the leaders in the nation. Our rollout of health care and health choices on a managed care platform started under Governor Ridge is a platform that other states look at. But when you look at our revenue compendium, we are at best in the middle of the pack. It is one of the weakest components of our overall revenue and spending plan. So in considering that, using other means to balance, cash management, assets that are on the books that you can use, is a far better strategy than going into your marketplace and making one of the weakest components of your overall fiscal position weaker. I think one of the themes of this proposal is the governor, I believe, has come to terms with that. That we've come to agreement on some serious fundamentals here. And he's shown that in trying to manage the expenditures of the Department of Environmental Protection, Conservation Natural Resources, a lot of cash management and utilization of assets and human services, and looking at money that has not been spent in prior years and making sure that if it's not spent to properly oversee your agencies, that we lapse it into the current conversation so we don't have to raise money from other places. Now, we've been very fortunate to have better performance in revenue over the last year. This is a change for a lot of us over the last 10 years. But the only way that you can make that not sustainable if you don't keep your spending levels within that performance. And right now, one of the things that we have to talk about during our hearings along with the House and Chairman Sauer is the average rate of growth that we've seen in our budgeting over the last 10 years has been 1.2%. Governor's rate of growth over the enacted budget last year is 4.3%. That is not a sustainable number given our revenue capacity. And no doubt, given the fact that we are in a growing economy now, growing faster than we've seen in a very long time, we can look at this as probably our high watermark for a very long time in terms of how fast our revenue is going to be growing. Now, of course, in that spending, there's some laudable things in here. We all talked about that. Workforce investment is something that this General Assembly totally agrees with in the governor in terms of making sure that our economy is strong enough. In relation to the thing our business people really want, and that is qualified workers. But there must be balance, and that balance is your workers, if they're qualified, need to have a job to go to. And if you don't achieve appropriate balance in your overall fiscal position by not managing your affairs properly, we could be spending a lot to take care of our workers to make sure they're qualified, but there will not be jobs available to them because we're not competitive. One last thought in terms of the overall governor's approach to some key issues here. And it comes down to basic, for me, is separation of powers and our relative positions and responsibilities in the democratic process. There are things the governor's doing in consolidation of functions and in setting wage scales that are, I believe, even though there's many people who may support that in this building, need to be accomplished through a statutory action. Just because they're a good idea doesn't mean one side can take it and move that forward without the General Assembly approving it. Those are things that the governor has tried to do in the prior budgets and is doing in this budget again, and that is not the appropriate way to ensure that this government is is advancing its overall strategy in terms of the democratic process. The General Assembly must be accommodated in our statutory prerogative in these issues. The governor's budget is very complex with a lot of moving parts, so we'll have to take the time during the appropriations process to work through these details, but I know based on what he's presented, we can work together to come down to a 19-20 spending plan within the June 30 timeline. So thank you very much.